Would you please read our first item?
Item number one, from Intergovernmental Relations Staff, 2013 Legislative Updates. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right. And joining us today is Jamie Young. Jamie Kuhn, I'm terribly sorry.
No. Patty
Young,
Jamie
Kuhn.
One and the same.
Well, it's not easy to get you mixed up. I have not enough coffee. I apologize. Ms. Kuhn, could you please start on your update?
So, the request was to make an update on the state budget and where it's at. Obviously, it is not finished yet. And while it seems pretty clear that they're not going to necessarily be major changes when the Assembly and the Senate take a vote on it, obviously, anything is subject to change at this point. The process, from what we know of it right now, is that the Assembly will ideally take it up on Tuesday, potentially going into Wednesday. I talked to a couple of senators this morning who suggested that they had hoped to be on the floor next Thursday, but again, all of that is sort of subject to change. So, and after that point, obviously, it goes to the governor's desk, and he has the opportunity to veto. He does have partial veto authority in the state of Wisconsin. We did pass a constitutional amendment change such that he can't Vanna White it anymore, was sort of the phrase. He can't take out letters and make new words with those letters, but he still has a fairly significant partial veto authority. So that will occur ideally before the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. So we will be up there next week and probably the following, dealing with last-minute changes in the Assembly and the Senate and potential vetoes from the governor. So that's the process. Any questions?
Mr. Vice Chair.
Is there anything in particular that we're trying to have him veto out of the budget? Anything in particular you're working on?
Knock on wood, I think we're more concerned about things that he might veto, keeping things in that he might veto. One of the issues which I'll discuss about the negative adjustment is there's the potential for him to veto that out, and that would... It's a $22 million hit for Milwaukee County.
Ms. Kuhn, the negative adjustment?
Yes. So do you want me to talk about it now or with the property tax levy stuff?
I just had a question on process.
Supervisor Cohen?
Do we really expect that those caucuses are going to go in and just rubber stamp with finance? I mean, isn't there going to come at some point? One of these people is going to say, I'm not voting for this unless you do this, and that's going to dam break.
The rumor is that the Assembly is good. And that, you know, I mean, I think one of the issues that's still out there publicly is the residency issue in the Senate. It's not clear where they want to go. People are talking about technical changes in the Senate, but, you know, a lot of the negotiation really was different this time around in that the Senate, before they would go to finance, would have caucus at the Senate. Would have caucuses to stake out sort of their position so that they didn't have to negotiate it again. So, and from general discussions about the per pupil dollar amount for the school aides, it's pretty clear that that's where they want to end up. So there's not really a lot of room to move there. And I think their goal is to, you know, as you know, once it does come unraveled, it just makes it harder. And so their goal is to not have that happen is what I'm hearing. But obviously, I mean, I don't know that we've ever been in a situation, and these are kind of all new times, but I don't think we've ever been in a situation where neither one of the houses has adjusted the budget at all. So,
that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
I'm hearing technical amendments.
Yeah.
But technical amendments.
Yeah.
But we're kind of like what happened in the wrap-up motion at the end of finance. So.
Yeah.
Thanks, Supervisor Cohen.
Okay, so general overview. Obviously, the budget is a $70 billion appropriations document. There were several changes from what the governor proposed, but I think unless you have a question, and feel free to jump in and tell me to move forward or go back to something, we're going to kind of work, it makes more sense to just work off it amended the way that it's amended as passed out of the Finance Committee, rather than trying to spend a lot of time comparing the two versions, which are different. Overall, I think the highlights are that at the end of the finance process, the budget does have a structural deficit of $505 million. And that to address that issue, and to be fair, it is the lowest in probably the last 8 years in regard to a structural deficit. But my understanding at the beginning of the process with this was that there was an attempt to continue to decrease the structural deficit. Obviously, there still is a structural deficit at the end of the day. Taxes and fees. I just wanted to highlight that the budget does decrease net taxes by about $684 million, but it increases fees by about $7.6 million. And there is an additional generation of about $92 million in taxes and fees in this budget.
Ms. Smith, could you please repeat the increase in fees?
The increase in net fees is about 7.6, but based on tax collections and structural changes to the taxes and fees, is actually going to generate about $92 million in taxes and fees.
Thank you.
There is about $383 million in fundraise in this budget. I don't actually have the comparison to previous years, but in every budget there's somewhere between $900 and $200 million with fundraise. So it's sort of standard, but is something that is either a positive or negative depending on the other agency that's losing that fund. A common one, obviously, is moving money from the general fund to the transportation fund or the other way around. We also have, in the past, which impacts Milwaukee County, is that TANF dollars are also utilized in that manner, and sometimes TANF dollars can be shifted around to supplement lapses into the GPR fund, which then creates a situation where we have less TANF dollars for certain services like child support and other things.
And for the listening audience, can you tell us what the TANF?
The Temporary Assistance of Needy Families. It's a block grant that the federal government gives us. We get matching dollars for various programs. Sometimes we get additional augmentation dollars from the federal government based on the services that we provide through those programs like child support and child welfare and income maintenance. We don't do that anymore, but the state as a whole does some of those too.
Thank you. Please continue.
There was obviously a major overhaul of income tax distribution. According to the Fiscal Bureau, the average tax decrease for individuals earning $40,000 to $50,000 is $87 for 2014 and an additional $87 for 2015. Between $100,000 and $150,000, you're at about $281, and this is in savings. And for $300,000 and over, we're at about $1,518, and that's consistent for both years of the biennium. So there is, if you like more detail on sort of the change in the income tax structure, there's a paper on it, and it's obviously in the document. But the overall average reduction is about 158 for all filers. So if you average everyone together from under 5,000 up to 300,000 and over, it's about $158 per year of savings per individual filer. Property tax estimates on average increase in this budget. For counties specifically, it is an increase of about 1.4% in 2013-14 and about 1.6% in 2014-15. I don't know if anyone wanted any other one. The actual tax levy is about 2014 for counties in 2013-14 year, tax year.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Are there any numbers that break it down for Milwaukee County? What the cost increase on the average Milwaukee County?
No, we don't have that yet. I should have mentioned this before. Obviously, communicating with the Department of Administration Budget Office to figure out how some of these things that we don't know specifically how they're going to impact Milwaukee County, and hopefully we'll be able to figure some of that out in the next week or so. We've requested.
Please continue.
Okay, so I think that's about all for sort of a general overview. Does anyone have any other specific questions about? So there are a number of provisions, some that we knew about, some that we didn't, that directly or indirectly affect Milwaukee County. So I have them here. I will not do all of them, but if there are, like, I may just mention one. If you want me to stop and describe it more specifically, let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to try to go through them. But there are a couple in here that are not a direct impact, but a roundabout. So I just want to make sure that we all have an idea of sort of where we're at on those. So we do have a service award program, and I'm just literally, it's going by alphabetical order by agency, so that's the only reason for the order. That's the way the Fiscal Bureau puts it together. We have a service award program that assists municipalities and counties in retaining volunteer firefighters. Milwaukee County doesn't specifically have them, but there are collaborative efforts in the county for volunteer fire services, and there is an appropriation to help fund that at a higher amount. One of the questions that I received from some people in the county was related to low-income weatherization and energy assistance program. It's a complicated but not complicated program. The low-income weatherization program consists of two programs, one of which provides some conservation dollars and assistance for weatherization to low-income individuals. The other one, the other program, and these are all programs that are generally funded from federal dollars or public benefit dollars, is sort of the general weatherization income assistance, which is actual direct payments to people to help prevent turn off their energy, to ensure that they can keep their electricity going during the middle of winter. And while in the state of Wisconsin it's illegal before April 1 to turn off anyone's heat, people still are unable to pay, and then once that backlogs, they have obviously surmounted a debt. This program actually provides direct payments to individuals so that they can pay their energy bills. What happened in this program is that currently there was an uneven percentage split, and in the past the state and the federal government had suggested that it be an even split between conservation programs and energy assistance directly to individuals. What they did in the budget is, over time, more money was going to conservation efforts and less money was going to income assistance. So they evened it out, which was overall a very good thing for consumers who needed assistance. However, for Milwaukee County, in certain situations, we do, through a contract with community advocates, provide some of the assistance to the weatherization and conservation program. And so there is a question as to whether or not they will continue to be able to receive the funding that they received in previous years to provide those programs here. Again, there are people who sort of need to pay their bills, and then there are the folks who have moved far enough along that they can do sort of conservation efforts in their home to make sure their bills are lower. And so there's always sort of a divide as to which do you fund more. And so under the bill, it's about $10 million out of the conservation effort goes to the public benefits direct assistance. And so that may impact the amount of money that our county is receiving assistance with through the community advocates.
And then Ms. Kuhn, so that would affect how much direct assistance the county can provide or how much goes to the...
It will affect how much they receive and how many clients, essentially, or consumers they can help and in which way. So they do a lot more weatherization in Milwaukee County. They do also provide direct income assistance, but it seems, and we're still trying to work this out, but it seems that they provide more in conservation efforts. And so if less money is going to that and coming to them for that purpose, they may be able to switch over and provide more assistance, but they wouldn't get the direct payment for the income assistance. So potentially they could be receiving less to help folks in conservation efforts, specifically in Milwaukee County.
Thank you.
There is a provision related to the Register of Deeds that eliminates the statutory language relating to the $5 fee for Social Security redaction. Currently, the Register of Deeds gets to keep the $5 fee that they use to pay for the redaction of Social Security numbers on deeds and other items when requested. Under the bill, they would still be required to do the redaction, but they would not be allowed to keep the $5. So that's essentially every time they do that, they are no longer able to keep the $5 here in Milwaukee County. There is also a provision that requires the posting to the internet. I talked to the Register of Deeds and the Treasurer regarding certain parcels and sort of tax assessments. We apparently do that already, so that's not an additional cost and not something new that we're going to have to add. However, there is a question as to who's liable if the municipalities don't provide it in a timely manner to the county, and the county can't post it in a way that the state has requested it be posted. So that's going to all have to be worked out. But it's part of sort of this update across the state for sort of land information and tax information to be available online. There is also a provision in there that is a little bit complicated, but it relates to the additional $8 and $2 that they can charge for certain services and whether or not they get to keep it. And so there will be some question and some fluctuation in their budgets as a result of that as to how much on a regular basis they get to keep for what services.
And then, Ms. Kuhn, will we expect to see this reflected, say, in the this fall when we start the 2014 county budget? Will the Register of Deeds office be directly affected by these changes?
Yeah, they will essentially be required to still do the Social Security redaction, and they will not receive any. They will not be able to keep any of that fee for that service. So the state will. That is actually a transaction that the county will have to give the state back the $5.
Interesting. And do you know? Don't worry if you don't. But do you know how many of these redactions the Register of Deeds performs?
I do not.
That could be a conversation I have with the Register. Thank you. As we pursue, look into open data initiatives, that could be something else that will help ease this, this task. So.
There is an additional program that was created to provide local governments with some additional funding. Statewide, it's only about $400,000 over the biennium for efficiency initiatives, and it's called the LEAN program. This just appeared in the finance. I'm not exactly sure where it came from, but essentially what it is saying is the counties or municipalities can apply for money through this program if they are willing to go through an effort to pay a private contractor to come in and tell you how to more efficiently run your government.
Interesting. Okay.
Basically, you know.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you say more efficiently run your government, I know you said you don't know a lot about what they're doing so far. Are they talking about actual government transformation, or are they talking about more things like green energy and buildings and that sort of thing?
Establish a a value for goods and services and prove that you can do something different with less resources.
Sounds like the more like the economics of government in general. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It's not laid out specifically. I think that, you know, we're still in the process of having to wait for the actual language of the bill.
And what is that grant called?
The LEAN program.
Like LEAN? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I raised an eyebrow. As you just talked about energy efficiency, that would be for
residents.
Yeah, no,
it's not necessarily about energy efficiency.
No, not at all.
It's about services and products.
And this would be the contract with a private
company? Yes, it's required that it be a private business.
Is that then a requirement of governments, or is it an option for governments?
It's an option. It's just it's a loan program that you can apply for.
Okay, so we would apply to the state.
You could apply for it based on your new lean government.
I see. Okay. Continue, please.
There are new requirements for open books for counties and municipalities. This is something that will likely affect the comptroller's office in regard to how we report our finances. Essentially, the state government and federal government have sort of been talking about this Project Sunshine, and it really began as an issue of transparency and has now turned into an issue of, is it even possible to put all of that information up in the manner by which they originally thought they should? And so the state, who still hasn't complied with all of it, is now asking counties and municipalities to do so. And it's for any... basically, it's any expenditure greater than $100. So we will have until September 1 of 2016, where DOA is charged with ensuring that counties have that information available and the process by which that occurs.
That would need to be made publicly known that we are spending above $100?
Any expenditure above $100.
Interesting.
Okay. For all departments.
Huh. Okay. Please continue.
The Office of Justice Assistant, Justice Assistance, which at various times have been in various places, who tends to be an office that helps channel federal funds to local governments for crime victim stuff and other domestic abuse issues, is essentially the whole department is being transferred under the Department of Justice now. It used to be there one point a long time ago, and then it got moved over to the governor, I'm not even sure which year it was, so the governor's office had it under DOA, and now it's getting moved back to the Department of Justice. So the reason why that's relevant to us is that we will be working with a different department on those grant programs. And some of those, just to name a few, are the Youth Diversion, the Victim of Sexual Assault Grant Programs, Treatment Alternatives is kind of with OJA and is kind of with DOC, the Department of Corrections, so it's sort of a split. And then Child Advocacy Centers, which Milwaukee also has. State Fair Parks, everybody's favorite topic. The legislature has fully funded operations and debt service for State Fair Parks. There was a provision in the original budget that would transfer security from the State Fair Park to Capitol Police instead of our local security. That provision was taken out in finance, so all is back to the same. There's also additional money for county fair aids, which I know everybody's really excited about, and it's possibly up to $10,000 for any one county.
On that, Ms. Coote, if I may note, we now again have a Milwaukee County Fair.
Yes, apparently.
Put on by the University Extension here. They might be happy
to
do
that. So, again, we should apply for the $10,000, which I believe most counties end up doing. So. Under the Department of Aging and Long-Term Care, something that's really important to those clients is the continual funding of the Ombudsman Relocation Specialist. A person helps clients figure out where they need to get services from. On occasion, the position has been deleted. There sometimes have been two or four positions. I believe currently there is only one with an assistant, but it is helpful to counties for aging and long-term care. And there is also a Medigap helpline where people can call to figure out where they need to go next for health care. Sort of overall capital budget, bonding, building commission, one of the issues that we obviously care about and we're supportive of was the Family Justice Center. Under the building commission's budget and under the bonding authority for capital improvement projects, the Joint Finance Committee cut the funding in the building commission, essentially bonding for buildings, by, I believe, $250 million. They did not specify where those cuts had to occur. They specified that the building commission, after the budget was passed, would have to decide. So there is approximately $1 billion worth of bonding for projects. $250 million of that no longer exists under the budget passed in finance. So some of those projects will go by the wayside at a certain point or be delayed or essentially not be able to be enumerated and moved forward. We are told, hopefully, that the Family Justice Center is okay, but it's still a possibility that that could be one of the items. It's a $10 million bond from the Building Commission with a local private match of the same or higher. There's also bonding for the medical college. It's not specifically for buildings in Milwaukee County, but it's through the medical college, and those are in Wausau and Green Bay, but that's also potentially a problem. Some sort of just general provisions in regard to, just to explain, almost every budget, in as long as I can remember, there have been lapse requirements that either DOA or the government, the governor, or the legislature can implement. So that's an additional cut to any of the agencies based on the recommendation of, again, either the governor, the legislature, or sometimes DOA can just make them, and they have to present a plan to the finance committee. There was an adjustment in that in regard to requiring the secretary to do it. They did this time identify where some of those would come from. The Supreme Court has always been one that everyone is concerned about. The Supreme Court lapse was reduced out of the gate, but there still will be an additional lapse required that will be implemented by the DOA secretary at a later date at any time. And sometimes what happens is additional revenue comes in and those lapses don't have to happen, but they generally do, or they get rolled into this budget, which is what some of the other ones have done. So some of the lapses that required in the last budget are rolled into this current budget when there's additional money, so the lapse can be lower.
Okay. Please continue. Please continue.
Does that all make sense? Sorry.
If only we had that power.
Oh, and then there was an additional project for UW-Milwaukee. The Kenilworth Place lease. Does that make sense? I don't actually know what that is. I'm sorry. I didn't have time to look that one up. Northwest Quadrant Student Health Center as well are in, and I believe Representative Richards worked on that as well.
This is to provide funding for
bonding. Bonding for those projects. One is to close out the bonding on it, which is, I believe, almost paid off, and the other is to establish continual bonding for the health center. But again, that's still in the provision by which they're going to have to find $250 million to cut from that, the building commission is, so any of those projects could also be denied later.
Thank you.
There's some programs that don't necessarily run through the county, but I know the county works with outside organizations on some of these items based on sort of other needs, particularly with children and families, and community-based resource, family resource center and family resource center grants has always been something that Milwaukee County has sort of had an individual additional sort of identified funding amount just allocated for the organizations in Milwaukee County. There was a provision in the governor's budget that would have essentially prevented Milwaukee County organizations from getting the full $150,000 for family resource centers, and that was restored by the Finance Committee. And the match by which this program is funded used to be at 25 in the first year and 50 in the second year, and they made an adjustment so that the local match is only 25%. So it obviously helps the organizations to fund the program. Throughout the rest of the budget, so they can only have to bring this up once, but there is a regular occurrence of creating an Office of Inspector General in many of the agencies. This position is apparently to identify fraud and waste that is happening in any of the programs. Some of the agency inspector generals were implemented, and some of them were required, the money was moved to a supplemental fund in finance, and they are required to create a plan and come back to finance to get the funding. This is in several of the agencies. There was a move to create an inspector general. What the inspector general can do in some of the agencies is increase their authority to request certain records from individuals that they may not have been able to obtain otherwise without going through a different process. And so this is also, just factually, it's a common theme throughout the budget that there's a lot more information sharing of individuals' private information, whether it be Social Security information, healthcare records, tax intercepts, such that the agencies have the ability, and even in sort of crime victim stuff and sheriffs and others, and law enforcement can start sharing information quicker. And in some of the cases, it makes a lot of sense, and in some of it, I think it's probably a little bit unclear as to whether or not the sharing of information with any healthcare provider, which is throughout sort of the MA section, whether or not it makes sense that any healthcare provider, from a chiropractor to a dentist, needs to have free access to your health records without your approval.
Not being an attorney, I wonder how that crosses the HIPAA threshold or other.
Well, there are because of the electronic medical records now. I think there's a lot more sharing of it anyway, sure. And a lot of it is up. It's just a matter of who can sort of access what, and I think that's a question that, you know, regardless of the state doing it or the county doing it or anyone doing it, is a question of the list that they made in this budget. Like I said, goes from chiropractors to athletic trainers to a massage therapist that can have access to a medical record if you are going to potentially become one of their clients without your permission.
So they can get access to that record without say my express permission?
Right. In some of the cases.
Some cases. Supervisor Ruma West.
Thank you. What then would be the chain of command for that? I mean, so if someone was to access your medical record, could they then release your records to someone else without your knowledge as well?
Let me find the specific one for healthcare. Can I answer that when I find it? Okay. So child welfare, obviously, Milwaukee County doesn't control child welfare anymore per se, but there are a lot of changes to child welfare program that are important for your residents. There certainly was full funding of this, which through TANF dollars and GPR, which hasn't necessarily happened all of the time. The The question for child welfare is the dollar amount that Milwaukee County will owe the state in regard to. We make a payment to the state on a, I think, an annual basis to help support the child welfare program so that it, obviously you're continuing to fund it, you're just not running it. And so the question is how much you will have to pay based on the changes. I'm not sure that that necessarily changes, but we'll have to look into that one. And there are some new changes in regard to sort of post-permanency, out of post-permanency services that children receive in regard to moving out of institutional care or out of the foster care system or what have you, in which they're trying to create more programs so that you don't have to sort of re-enter programs. And it's unclear as to when all of those programs will take place, but I think there is a move to try to ensure that they're not re-entering the system if they get placed in a home.
Right.
Like,
for the benefit of the child.
Right, right. Increasing, you know, the likelihood that they can terminate parental rights if it's clear that the parents are going to do that anyway, and sort of speeding up the process. And actually, Representative Seskounis probably knows more about it than I do. He used to work on this. Basically, a lot of the basic county allocations, the youth aids, the children and family aids are not going to receive an additional cut like they did last year. There was sort of across the board 10% in a lot of programs. And while we're not, just like in transit, not necessarily restoring the 10% cut, they're not getting cut additionally. So lots of people take that as good news. You can take it whichever way you'd like.
And on transportation, was there a slight restoration to that cut? Mm-hmm.
There's a 4%, but it isn't available until January of calendar year 2015. So it's the end of the second half of the second year of the biennium. So there, the way that it'll be in language is really important as to whether or not there's a possibility of a veto.
Supervisor Gutierrez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Are we, Ms. Kuhn, are we officially on transportation? Does this one want me to ask?
Yeah.
I don't give an order there. no, because I think there was a little bit of confusion and myself, perhaps, from governor's budget of the effect on transportation to some of the joint finance
sure.
on transportation to then the final, middle of the night, 3 a.m. motion on transportation. So I think I'm trying to understand.
You want me to, yeah. So what happened?
Where exactly we are?
Just on transit.
Yes.
The original budget did not restore the 10% cut to transit.
Okay.
It also moved the transit program, mass transit operations, out of the transportation fund in the second year of the biennium and paid for it with general purpose revenue dollars. The initial move by the Finance Committee when we were working on it was to restore 4% of the 10% cut. It did not put basically funding it through GPR. So the final version actually funds it through the transportation fund, but also makes a payment from the general fund of the same dollar amount to the transportation fund. But it's technically being paid for with the transportation fund. And it's a 4% restoration of the cut.
So, Mr. Chairman, in 2014, as we prepare for our budget deliberations, we will be positively impacted by the 4% restoration of the 10% cut in 14?
In 15.
Oh, in 15.
Not in so you, it will actually coincide better with your budget in the sense that it is not available until January of 2015. So next year you won't be able to budget for it and you can't well, this is 2013. You can't budget for it next year. You potentially could budget for it the following year.
Okay.
If it stays in that way.
The Joint Finance Committee, though, had they not done that last motion, would the 4% restoration, would it have been available in 14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what I just didn't... I've had a lot of discussions about that, and I don't know that people listening understand that. So with the original motion...
There was no caveat that it wasn't available before.
The 4% restoration of the 10%
that I remember, yes.
Would have been available to us in 14, but with this new middle-of-the-night thing, now it's not available until 15. So we still have some additional challenges, of course, in 14 when it comes to transportation.
And I will double check on that to make sure, but
yeah,
either way it's not going to be available. If it stays in, it will not be available until calendar year, which is generally not actually how we budget at the state level. But the benefit of it, nonetheless, is that if the appropriation amount is at its highest in the second year of the biennium, that's the base moving forward. So the $107 million in the transit program will be the base for the next budget process. And that's important because every agency, when they submit their budget, initially works off of base. If the money had been provided in the first year of the biennium, the base would be lower in the second year, potentially, if they separated out the 2 years. And gave a certain amount in the first year and a certain amount in the second year. If the second year was lower, that would be the base moving forward.
Anything further?
No, thank you very much.
So, Ms. Kuhn, so because this money would be available in 15, would that make the base then greater?
It is beneficial that it's in 15 because it still applies to the appropriation amount. It's just that the funds are not available until then. It will still show up in the next budget at moving forward as the base at the higher amount with the 4% restored.
Okay.
You just can't access it until, which on some level makes some sense because all of the transit systems, I believe, operate on an annual basis, basis.
Correct.
Not biennial, so.
Yeah. And this all depends, of course, on the governor not giving a swipe of the veto pen. Is that correct?
Right. Now, I hate to say this out loud. I mean, it is a little complicated given that this is an appropriation dollar amount. However, like I said, there's two separate provisions, and one is the move to transfer general purpose revenue dollars to the transportation fund. Because of that is a separate item under the it will be a separate item under the language. That part could be adjusted because it's not attached. It's part of the overall transfers from the general fund to the transportation fund, but it was an additional transfer, so it could be potentially singled out. I'm not sure yet. We're checking on that. But I've asked a couple of times, and I think everyone is sort of just trying to wait to see what the language on that provision looks like, if it's a separate transfer. I think the other problem is, and it's one that everyone collectively in transportation industry is talking about, is that we continue to have a problem with the transportation fund in regard to how are we going to sustain it. In the past, whenever there has been a problem or a deficit in the transportation fund, we end up either moving general funds over or we have another discussion about are we going to gas tax or whatever, and it's clear that we're not doing that in this budget. But what could happen is the fund could draw down throughout the course of the biennium, and anything that is not necessary that is already underway can be eliminated at any time by the Finance Committee. Obviously, any of these things really can be, but I think there is there's always an ongoing concern with whether or not the transportation fund is sustainable, and it was part of the discussion, too, as to whether or not it was a benefit for transit to be out of it or stay in it. Either way, it's back in, and I think that we're going to have to watch closely how transportation fund moves forward, because there are times when they've had to make plan adjustments to the fund, which obviously changes projects and programs in the fund.
I'm sure you will keep us posted on that. Yes, please do. Thank you.
There was, in regard to children and families, there was an adjustment that changed. So when we talked about sort of the counties of population 500,000 or over, Milwaukee County sort of moved into the 750,000 or over. However, there are, you know, hundreds of places in the statutes where that occurs. They are fixing one of those in regard to children and families that to help deal sort of with Milwaukee child welfare at the State Department, because obviously it's not necessarily an intergovernmental agreement that you have with the state, because they now run the program. But what they do is they contract with agencies here for child welfare services, and they need many of the statutes to apply to only to Milwaukee County and not to Dane County, essentially. I think this is the health records. So one of the places on the health records is child welfare, mental health treatment, and juvenile records, in regard to where we are going to ensure that there can be exchange of confidential information with a healthcare provider. The healthcare provider is essentially still required to confidentiality, but I believe the county departments or the state can share those records if a client or a resident is moving into the system with a healthcare provider who is going to begin to provide them treatment. And that's the same with mental health for children and adults. So just to give you a couple of the other ones on the list, podiatrist, dietitian, occupational therapist, social worker, speech pathologist, body work therapists are among the list of healthcare providers in the definition. So there is a little change in regard to what we used to call the trial jobs program in Milwaukee. And they're changing it to a temporary job program, essentially. The requirements are that, essentially a part of W-2. And so the requirements are that you have to be, you know, you have to find an employer, and the employer gets matched dollars from the state, most likely TANF dollars. They used to require that a person could receive these for up to 3 months. It's up to 6 months now, and they can, under the bill, and they can also, on a case-by-case basis, extend that to 24 months. However, the only requirement regarding salary is that they pay a minimum wage. And then there's the Transform Milwaukee Jobs Program, which was something the governor introduced last February, maybe, which I believe just hasn't started yet, but it's supposed to be focused on people who are transitioning out of foster care and adults with children, and where they're the primary caregiver, and annual household incomes below 150%, and obviously it's going to focus on Milwaukee County. So the program is funded with federal dollars at $9 million for the biennium. Again, we don't run this program, but a lot of the folks in Milwaukee County receive these subsidies, and that's the child care subsidies. I believe they fully funded the child care subsidy program, which on occasion, mostly every biennium at some point, there's a deficit in that fund. They don't believe that there's going to be a deficit now because there are actually less children in child care, particularly in Milwaukee County, because less people are actually working here than they are in other places around the state. And then in addition to that, they made changes to the child care facilities or child care providers that are in the quality rating system. There are some positive changes that they made to make it easier, not necessarily easier, but for individuals to receive additional education so that their rating can go up so that they can essentially get reimbursed more for the child care subsidies. The Earned Income Tax Credit, which is a tax credit program for low-income families, has been reduced in a couple of years or a couple budgets. And generally, it's a battle of whether or not we use TANF dollars or we use GPR dollars to provide a tax credit. A majority of the other tax credits are essentially funded when you reduce the tax credit, are funded through the general fund. Over the years, we continue to either shift more TANF dollars to it or take TANF dollars away. I believe there is a reduction about $8 million to the fund, and it's shifting TANF dollars back into it and taking GPR out. And that's pretty much child welfare. Any questions? Is there anything that you want me to go to next?
Supervisor Lewis.
Thank you. I have a very quick question about senior center funding. There was some question where I was at Oasis filling in for the chair, whether or not there was an issue.
For the ADRCs? Through the ADRCs or?
Mm-hmm. Could I add to that too, Mr. Sharon?
Supervisor Church.
Just this Wednesday that I had the same question come up. There, at a couple of our senior centers, they had signed petitions because they believe that something in the governor's budget affected the Older Americans Act. I mean, confused about how those, the federal and the state, and how it trickled down to the county senior centers. I think they also cited rural programs.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, yeah, I really need to ask about that.
Yes, there is. Okay. I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
Okay, or
if I can get to it, yeah.
You don't have the entire budget memorized?
Not word for word.
You've been doing an amazing recitation so far. Supervisor Roma West.
Thank you. I just wanted to state that when we had Health and Human Needs, that I asked all of the directors to come in and give us a report on how the state budget affected their budgets. And I don't believe that Stephanie Susan gave me anything. But again, it's come up several times now at the senior centers that they believe that there's some type of changes coming down. So okay. We appreciate you looking into it. Although they also come out in droves, the seniors, God bless them, for the county budget, and we generally don't have anything affecting them either. They hear rumors and whatnot, so they want to be proactive. We appreciate that.
Very good. Thank you, Supervisor.
There are a couple of changes in regard to surcharges in the justice system, probation and parole. Folks who are jailed and convicted of a misdemeanor. So collectively, there's a bunch of different surcharges. What happens is that the state budgets for some of those surcharges, and in the past, generally, those surcharges don't necessarily ever amount to what you predict because half of the time we can't collect the fees from those folks because they don't have the funds. So there are a number of places in here where the fee collection, they provide additional ways to collect the fee, whether it's through a tax intercept, or allowing the courts to, again, try to, after the person is on off probation, allow the courts to go back in and request that that person pay their fees. And so all of these fees go to different programs, and crime victim witness, domestic abuse, and other programs. And so there's several adjustments, which I don't need to go over, but there's several adjustments to those surcharges and what they fund and what they don't fund. And you know, we're going to work with the courts and others to figure out what that actually means for Milwaukee County and if they think they'll actually get them, because obviously when the state believes that it's going to increase funds for certain programs and the county runs those programs, like, you know, drug court or whatnot, and those fees are not realized, then it's our programs that then don't get fully funded.
Yeah. I did notice in the one of the reports that was submitted for this, there were some changes to several of the judicial system funding. There's some apparently small decreases, at least small percentage decreases, but I'm not sure what impact those would have.
So sometimes the small decreases are just a result of a modification where the Legislative Fiscal Bureau and DOA got together and said this number is not correct, and so we made a reduction. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're attempting to reduce the funding for that program. It may be a modification. Sometimes it is a reduction. But again, some of it is prediction, and they're not able to always predict exactly what that amount will be. We did the youth daily rates, youth aids, but the youth daily rate was essentially going to increase, but based on the modification, and again, this was actually a modification, is actually going to be reduced by $3. So the youth daily rate will be $294 for youth in juvenile justice. There is also a new provision that is going to study, because there, I think you probably already heard about it, but and it'll be in a different section, but their GPS monitoring, particularly for alcohol and other drug offenses, was an issue throughout the budget about how much we should be doing that, if we should be doing it, who should be doing that. And so there is a provision on that, that and DNA stuff, but there is also going to be an additional study by a Legislative Council committee if this goes through and doesn't get vetoed. And so we'll have another opportunity actually to weigh in on GPS monitoring. There was a change to DA's pay, public defender's pay, and assistant AGs, and then there was a problem with how they worded it, and some of them were not getting paid the same, and the intent was that there would be a pay progression plan for all of those positions, which was eventually fixed in the wrap-up motion. So the next big issue is requirements for rehired annuitants. In Milwaukee County, I don't believe currently under Act 14, there was a provision in there in regard to rehiring of annuitants that essentially set Milwaukee County to have to follow any of the rules that are applied to WRS. So in the past, we haven't necessarily had to pay attention to what was happening with WRS, but now we will, because any of the rules in regard to rehiring folks who already have a pension or an annuitant will apply to Milwaukee County as well.
Okay. And just for the listening audience, the rehiring annuitants, those are people...
So people who have already retired and started receiving their annuitee. will essentially they have now there are going to be new rules for whether or not they can still essentially they will not be able to keep receiving that if they are rehired more than two-thirds time or three-quarters time back with the state. So that same provision will apply to Milwaukee County. Any Milwaukee County employee who retires and starts receiving their annuitant can't come back and get that if they're going to be working what is essentially the equivalent of three-quarters time for the county.
And the WRS is the Wisconsin Retirement System?
Yes, sorry.
Very good. Thank you.
Question.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you.
So let's say that I retire and I take a state of Wisconsin pension, and then I get hired by a different governmental authority, Milwaukee County or City of Milwaukee or Dane County or whatever. How does that work?
That I don't know, because you would have two different systems but now applying the same rules. So it's possible that it could. I don't know, but I don't know that that was specifically addressed. What the additional issue that was addressed is that you could also be hired as a contractor with the county or the state, and that would the rules would still apply. In the past, that hasn't been the case. That individuals contracting, like DOA has a lot of independent contractors for IT or what have you. These provisions haven't necessarily applied to those folks, but they will now.
Thank you, Supervisor.
But I can check on that, too. For those of you interested, rent-to-own provisions did get removed from the budget, so they are no longer in there. I think that was Glenn Grofman.
Yeah. Now
we
have who runs the budget,
Glenn Grofman. Hi. Notary public fees have gone up, so those of you who are notaries may charge an additional fee for standard marriage license, domestic partnership. It used to be, depending on what you were doing it for, I would assume anyone not the county clerk would be doing it for different bills or mortgage payments or non-payment promissory notes, goes from 50 cents to $5. You can charge up to $5.
You live in large now. Mm-hmm.
So there's the way to go. So there is a provision which, again, I'm looking into and I don't really fully understand yet, but there are provisions that would apply to loans that we have, counties, municipalities, or local authorities, that the regulation for those loans is changing, and this one I just don't understand yet. So, but it does include counties. So we kind of did general fund taxes in regard to the reduction income tax stuff. Does anyone have any other questions on that? There is a provision in the budget that relates to sales tax nexus, and that is important for us because essentially if the feds decide on this issue in regard to what is a nexus, and some of that is if you're, you know, distance from the state that you're paying customers are in. Sometimes it's based on the percentage of sales that you do in the state, but apparently, this provision doesn't change unless the federal law changes and expands to require out-of-state sellers to collect and remit the taxes for the state of Wisconsin residents. If that happens, this provision automatically applies, and there is no other discussion or debate about it. And what would happen is that they would assess it. Obviously, the income would come the taxes would come in, but there's also a caveat that DOR gets to determine how much the individual income tax rates would be reduced the following taxable year, so that the alternative minimum tax would be eliminated and income tax revenues would be decreased by the amount equal to the estimated increase in sales and use tax, at which point essentially an additional income tax cut would occur and they would readjust the brackets without essentially any legislative oversight. So the brackets that we have, if the federal government deals with the sales and use tax issue, could DOR could essentially implement new tax brackets based on the percentage of dollars coming in under the new sales tax to provide an additional tax break. Residency. Obviously, there was a provision in the budget to eliminate residency statewide. Most of those provisions stayed in. There was a modification in joint finance, which essentially does continue to allow local units of government to establish a requirement for law enforcement, fire, and emergency personnel that they must reside within 15 miles of the border or the boundary. And if the local unit of government is a county, you have to establish a requirement that local law enforcement, fire, and emergency personnel must reside within 15 miles of the jurisdiction they're assigned to. So it's not essentially the exact same thing, but it is.
Would that be, say, sheriff's deputies, part of the targeted enforcement unit in District 6, which covers much of the south side of Milwaukee County. So that deputy would have to live within 15 miles of that area?
I think this is what's not clear, which we'll have to see the language. If it says assigned and the sheriff assigns people to certain districts, they would have to live within 15 miles of the municipality, not necessarily the county line. So if they were assigned to the city of Milwaukee, essentially they would have to live within 15 miles of the city.
Huh.
If there is an assignment process.
Okay.
I don't know if there is.
There's more questions I have about that, but we don't need to get into those. It's like, what if some of the targeted enforcement units, districts cross multiple municipalities?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll leave that for the later review. Please continue. Supervisor Ruben West.
Regarding MPD, they are assigned to district stations. So how does that affect it the same way? So if you're assigned to District 2 on the south side, you have to live within 15 miles of that district?
No. If you're a municipality, it has to be within 15 miles of the municipality boundary. But what they're saying is if you're a county sheriff or deputy and you are assigned to a specific municipality, then you would have to live within 15 miles of the municipality you're assigned. And I think that's what's obviously not clear, is that we don't know what the word assigned means at this point.
And so perhaps
the whole thing could be. Because this is an addition to what the governor had originally. So he essentially could just line item this portion too.
Supervisor Robles?
Thank you.
Sorry.
But so in regards to Milwaukee County sheriff's deputies, if you're just a sheriff's deputy and you maybe switch positions or whatever, just have the title of sheriff's deputy, it could be interpreted that they would be able to live 15 miles outside of Milwaukee County.
I think as of right now, we're assuming that because I don't know, and we don't know what the actual language will say in the bill, and again, if it will be there or not, but what the word assigned means. If we just kind of ignore that word for right now, and assuming that county law enforcement officers sort of serve the county, they could move outside the county within 15 miles. But then when you add the word assigned, that's where I'm just not sure if that word was put in by Fiscal Bureau, or if that was a word that was put in the motion. I would have to actually. I could.
Thank you, Supervisor.
So there's an issue with mobile and radio towers, and I don't know. Again, I'm trying to figure out if we obviously have land that we own, but essentially counties and municipalities could no longer regulate radio towers, with the exception of essentially you could not prevent one going if your zoning allowed it, and you guys don't zone, but if the zoning allowed it and it was on county property, the only provision that allows you to deny the establishment of a tower, a radio tower, would be if you could, and you would have the we would have the burden of proof as the county, established that it was a hindrance to public safety and it was a public health issue. So essentially, it kind of unregulates the siting of radio and mobile towers in some sense, and says that there are only certain provisions by which you can deny their placement.
That's for radio and cellular?
So there's radio, and then there's a different one, but it's similar, except there's different classes of possibilities under the mobile towers. And that one, I believe, actually impacts the municipalities more regularly than it will us, but we're still in it. It still applies to counties and municipalities.
Mr. Chairman?
Supervisor,
I was just curious if there are sort of highlights that you could hit in the budget process more than maybe I think you're getting into a little more detail than maybe we need to know, because not like we're voting on this, and maybe the chair can specify if there's anything in specific, but looks like you're only about halfway through that binder, not even, and so.
It's just a
question, I mean. Because you can maybe prepare something written that we can review
for everybody. Yeah, I mean, we're going to try if that is something we can do.
Thanks, Supervisor Cullen. Ms. Kuhn, you discussed shared revenue yet?
Not specifically, no. This one more specific detailed issue is about municipal fees. So, and I'm not actually sure that anyone even saw this get put in there, but essentially a person who is aggrieved by any fee that is imposed by any local unit of government now will have the ability to appeal to the Tax Appeals Commission to receive their feedback. And the burden of proof is on the county or the municipality in establishing that there is an actual relationship between charging the fee and not. That's kind of a big one, because it doesn't specify what kind of fee. It just says any fee. So a marriage license, I mean, it can be anything.
Mr. Chairman?
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you. Where is that provision found in the budget, or what is it titled? How would I find it if I were looking through the budget myself?
Appeals of municipal fees.
That's really
Supervisor.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Alexander, and Supervisor Stetskudas.
Who put that in? That's
really odd. I don't actually know.
That sounds like somebody on Joint Finance had a constituent who got into a fight with, you know, Rusk County, and they charged $1,500 for documents, and so the JFC member put it in for their constituent.
Mm-hmm. That one's bad.
It's just weird. It's really weird.
It could be anything. So there's no way to sort of predict what that would mean for your budget. Right.
All right.
ADRCs were funded with an additional $6 million.
ADRCs?
Yep, so Aging and Disability Resource Centers. I'm sorry.
Right.
It will be bad. there is an issue on family care enrollees admitted to mental health institutions in regard to trying to reimburse counties when a transfer is made, and that potentially will be beneficial for us.
Family care is helping with placing some of our mental health patients. Is that correct? You said that there will be some reimbursement there for counties?
Moving from family care to, out of mental health institutions, out of family care to mental health institutions. Ideally, we wouldn't be doing that a lot.
Right.
Because we prefer home care through family care. Okay, so older Americans. There is a one-time state supplement for services for senior citizens. So there's an additional $433,000 to DHS to distribute to counties and tribes in relation to the Title III Older Americans Act. So it's essentially replacing the reduction that they received previously. There are also a bunch of provisions about OWIs and additional surcharges and additional holds, which, again, we have to figure out what that is going to mean for Milwaukee County, but potentially there are going to be more drug drivers in jail. And it may or may not cost more money. Generally, it costs more money to hold them. So. Crime Lab, you all heard about the provision that prevents that. Deletes current law that requires a crime lab be in Milwaukee. The DNA issue was a popular one. The Joint Finance Committee modified the DNA. Modified the DNA provision such that you could not collect fingerprints, DNA, from a child or adult unless they were charged with a felony. But don't quote me on that.
Other big highlights in there?
Stewardship was something that folks were interested in. There was a reduction in stewardship funding, so I know that the county does participate in that program, and we just have to figure out what that means for us. Shoreline zoning issue, the 1913 line. So the provision that's in the budget is essentially identifying that the shoreline line, the line that we will use to identify where a possible lake bed is going to be the 1913. And by 1913, that's the year. Line that was designated in an agreement between municipalities and entities at that point. There are further provisions in the language that prohibits the DNR from doing an analysis of where lake beds might be. And there is sort of a reinforcement that this language ensures that the lake bed issue can't be used or changed legislatively by the department.
By the DNR?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the DNR couldn't come back after this passed and say, we would like to relook at the lake bed issue.
And this, Mr. Chairman?
Pleasure to be chairs.
Does that have a date attached to it, or it would just essentially, if it goes through the process and is signed by the governor, be effective immediately? It doesn't like have a certain date attached to it. It's just
there is no. Again, this isn't the actual language in the bill, so there is, but there it doesn't suggest that there's an effective date. Okay. But I mean, anytime it doesn't say that, it's effective as soon as the bill is published.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you. So I guess a question for either Jamie or chairperson or chairwoman, since she's here. I know that there's some supervisors who really didn't like that provision being put in. We had a contentious judiciary meeting. I know there was an active economic development committee meeting on this particular issue. Are we doing anything? Are any members of the board petitioning? I don't see anything like on the agenda where we're, I mean, are we going to be working to remove that provision? Are there supervisors that are asking the board to approve a provision directing our Intergovernmental Affairs Department to get rid of it? Or is there any kind of update on that? Because seems like there's a real split on the board about whether they want that in the budget or whether they don't want that in the budget. I was just curious if anybody's doing anything on that.
I guess I could. Oops. Okay.
Supervisor Bouchard.
There we go. Yeah, no, I think there is a split. I think there's discussion around that. I think that there's question around the timing. I mean, that was one of the things that came in the middle of the night. Communication, but I'm not aware, to answer your question directly, of anyone right now asking for a formal position on it. So, I mean, I can't predict what people may or may not do, but I'm not personally aware of anyone who's contacted me or the chair of IGR or the Department of Intergovernmental Relations to have a formal position on that matter. But there has been a lot of discussion. So, thank you.
Okay, Jamie?
Bail bondsman. There, if this provision goes through, and I would say that it's likely, given that it was vetoed in the past and was clearly an item that was going to be in the budget, essentially it creates it in five counties, and after 5 years it automatically applies statewide. So it creates a system through the Department of, DSPS, Safety and Professional Services, where they have to license and certify bail bondsmen. And then the courts obviously have to interact with them. There's a weird provision, and again, this will get down to the language, but regarding the reporting and counties not receiving any dollars back for any of the fees that are imposed on the new license. So in some situations when there's a license fee, municipalities or counties will receive some of that back in a certain program. Obviously, if the program is here in Milwaukee County, I'm sure that there would be a reason why that part of that fee would be useful to help implement and or sustain it. And there's no fees reverting back to the counties. There's also a provision that requires that no enforcement officer may suggest, no enforcement officer may suggest or refer someone to a bail bondsman, and no bail bondsman may suggest or refer a lawyer. You can make assumptions about what that means, but that is the way it is described.
Mr. Vice Chair.
So, Jamie, is Milwaukee County one of the original five?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they're creating a whole new department to oversee this bail bondsman thing?
No, DSPS is that they got rid of regulation and licensing.
Oh, that's what they call reg and licensing now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, since when?
So, in the last budget?
Okay. Must have stepped out when that happened. I must have been in the parlor. Exactly. That's one of the many
reasons. They essentially put a bunch of the building stuff and rigging licensing over in Commerce, and now they've moved that out of Commerce, and there's less regulation of building code. And the rest of the licensing programs are all in DSPS. And so they will be in charge of certifying the bail bondsman. And then, aside from that, as soon as the bill goes into effect, there's a period by which DSPS can promulgate the rules. So there's a number of items, obviously, that are done by rule. But DSPS can promulgate the rules under the emergency rule clause without an actual emergency. So generally, an emergency rule is because there is a real need to get it done immediately. This creates an emergency rule process for bail bondsmen to be implemented without there being an emergency.
Somebody really wants this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so shared revenue is pretty much the same. It didn't restore the 10%. No, actually, I shouldn't say that. There was a last-minute restoration of county shared revenue, which I think was to increase to restore 4%, like transit, it was to restore an additional 4% for counties and municipalities under shared revenue. There's also a decrease in the county and municipal police and fire protection revenue line, which is a program that was created to transfer money out of other areas and say that it was going to police and fire, and then I guess it didn't really end up there. There is also an additional
increase in payments for our state and tax exemptions on computers for counties and municipalities, which is actually a good thing. So we get a payment because computers, fax machines, software, hardware are exempt from property taxes, and so the counties and the municipalities receive a computer tax payment. That amount is actually going to increase based on sort of a re-estimate of total property tax exempt property.
So do you have any sort of monetary figure on how that all washes out, how that affects Milwaukee County dollar-wise?
The shared revenue?
Shared revenue, the computers, the law enforcement, once you do all that?
No. The both of them are based on equalized property value, so they have to, DAS has to run the numbers. So we did transportation. We also,
Thanks. So did I hear you say that we're getting a 4% increase in shared revenue in 2015?
I'm trying to find it. I thought that we did in the wrap-up motion. No, I'm sorry. That's GTA's. Shared revenue is...
Well, that's the yes. Transit. I know we're getting the 4% in 2015.
No, but GTA's too.
Okay.
They I'm confusing GTA's with shared revenue for some reason, but in the wrap-up motion, GTA's for counties and municipalities got a an increase of an additional 4%. Shared revenue stays flat.
Yeah.
But it's about a tenth of a percent increase.
Okay, so if a constituent asks me what happened to shared revenue for Milwaukee County, it stayed flat?
We did not get cut further.
Okay. And then at some point...
There was a discussion about increasing shared revenue and it just didn't happen.
Okay. And then at some point, I don't need it today, but I guess I would like to know how this budget affects, you know, we always get those papers and whether we can do it here or request, you know, some of our members in Madison to get it for us. Just how is this going to affect the Milwaukee County part of the tax bill? You know, the mythical average home. You know, I'd like to know, you know, what numbers we have on that property tax-wise.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be impacted by the additional tax exemption, property tax exemptions, too. There was a discussion earlier about the billboards, which affects the city, doesn't affect us, but it essentially any tax exemption that's created is going to shift taxes on to whoever is still paying it. So I think that is... The number is going to be different based on the fact that there's a bunch of additional property tax exemptions in the budget.
Right.
So, yeah, I have...
Yeah, I mean, I know this is all preliminary because it still can change.
Yep. And, again, I mean, I think some of that, too, we can work out with the comptroller's office, too.
Okay.
But I just don't have them yet. Ask for them.
What do you choose to work on?
And so we talked about the negative adjustment. Does anyone have any questions about that? There's also a provision about carry forward. Previously, you could not carry forward for any unused levy or any unused or unassessed levy into the next year. The bill allows you to do that. However, with the negative adjustment, you can't carry forward if you want to use your exclusion from the negative adjustment. So you couldn't carry forward and use the negative adjustment exclusion. So what the negative adjustment does is excludes you from having to essentially pay back tax levy as a result of the debt that you're paying off. It's a very confusing issue.
Can you give me a write-up on that later?
It's a double negative, so it's a little bit confusing.
So it's a positive?
Well, hopefully it will be a positive. Essentially, any pre-2005 debt, and under the current budget, not taking this one into account, the governor eliminated the exemption that, and I'll just use Milwaukee County as an example, that Milwaukee County has of giving back tax levy because we're paying down our debt.
Okay.
aggressively. The governor removed the exemption from that so that the negative adjustment would apply whether you whether or not you taxed up to your allowable limit or tried to carry forward. So what this provision does is instead of attaching the negative adjustment to allowable tax levy, it attaches it to the carry forward. So essentially you could not, if you wanted to tax up to your allowable limit in 1 year, and the next year you didn't use it all and you wanted to continue to carry that forward into the next year, you couldn't do that and maintain the additional, essentially, revenue that you had from the exemption under the negative adjustment, which is approximately about $22 million from Milwaukee County. So, you essentially have to pick which one, assuming that this stays in here. This is the one that I'm concerned about.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if it was Jamie or Patty that I heard explain in another way before using car payments as an example. I don't even remember if it was in the last IGR meeting, or I think it might have been in agenda setting rather last month, but the notion, if you were looking at your personal household budget, if you have a car that you spend $300 making a payment on every single month, you get really excited when you get down to two or three payments left on it, and then you go, yeah, my car is paid off. And in your household budget, you would say, hey, I have an extra $300 a month I can spend now. If you take that type of scenario and apply it to our county budget, if we were paying off our old debt, which is kind of like paying the car payment, once we get it paid off, we're not allowed to just go spend that money the way you would in your personal household. You have to apply it other ways, like to a tax levy reduction or something.
You'd have to send it back.
You have to. So.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
So it's almost like paying off your car payment or your large debt early on time, what have you, to be excited about it, and not so much lightning and thunder there when you're
excited. Yeah, they would actually take it back essentially.
Okay.
So, I mean, the final section really is, there's two, and one, the major is obviously transportation. We talked about transit. There's the zoo interchange, and there's I-94, and there's also a connection dealing with the Hiawatha from Chicago to Milwaukee. So essentially most of those items were funded. There was provisions that allowed for the delay in subsequent years for the zoo interchange. I believe that would already be moving forward. So essentially those decisions are going to be made in the next budget anyway. And the zoo interchange in particular is funded through bonding, GPR bonding, and SEG bonding. So it's funded two ways. We also, while it looks like we got a decrease, we actually got an increase in routine maintenance for counties. And essentially what happened is that in the original DOT budget, we had an increase, I think it was like $58 million for routine maintenance, but then DOT came out with their deficit reduction based on re-estimates of where we were at and went back in. I think they took $4 million out of routine maintenance. So we still got, overall statewide, we still got an increase in routine maintenance. And GTAs was where the additional 4% for counties and municipalities came in above what they had originally, above what the governor had proposed. And I know that you really care about the regulation of golf carts on county highways.
Mm-hmm.
The last issue that is happening all over the place is there are significant changes to unemployment insurance, and they are complicated, and they are about, you know, when you can receive it after you become unemployed. There is one interesting exemption that I thought. Oh, actually, it's in one of the bills that is up that allows an elected official who goes part-time to obtain unemployment insurance. I'll have to find that for you.
Saying that you can't?
No, you can.
Okay, that bill's not going anywhere. Is that in
your turn? Actually, I think I'm going to pass.
So I'm reading about this unemployment bill.
Past the assembly. Or sent.
So
I have it here somewhere.
Is
Yes, so there's a bunch of changes in here about, so like the wait period and how long you can be on it and how many in the budget is the in the budget is the you have to apply for 4 positions in a week to get your full check. Used to be, I think, 2 or 3. But that's in the budget. But then there's the other bill that sort of eliminates the Unemployment Insurance Commission without eliminating it. It kind of just goes around that process, which I think everyone has sort of agreed over the years. It's business and labor that work together to talk about unemployment and agree to things. And essentially that process, I think, is no longer
useful. So that's a big hang-up in that bill, that provision of it?
I don't think it eliminates them, and I don't know if that's – it might be part of it. But I did print it out, but I can look up more on that. So that's what I got.
Thank you, Ms. Kuhn. Any other questions from committee members?
I just had a question on the process. Mr. Chairman, so you talked about the timing at the beginning. Then it goes to the governor. How long does he have? I'm not familiar with his time limit to issue his vetoes about?
It's never been a problem, so I don't know exactly what the time limit is.
Okay.
I assume it's the same as any other bill.
Okay.
Just like there is a process by which, you know, you have a veto period. He can. He also will obviously call for it if it's ready to go, so he'll do it within the time. I mean, the goal in the statutes has generally been the 4th of July. But obviously, in previous years, because the state can operate on base budget, it doesn't stop state government. It just continues to operate at the base level until the budget is signed, so it can go as long as it needs to. But I would anticipate it will be. I don't know if the vetoes will be done by the 4th, but I assume that the bill will be passed before then. So.
Thank you.
There was just one other thing on an assembly bill that affects you, and that's AB 225, the campaign finance bill that was going on. And just because I got lots of requests about it, there's a Ledge Council memo online that's really helpful for what they amended. But there is a provision in there, just so you all know, in regard to it increases your allowable limits, particularly from legislative and campaign committees. It doesn't affect your individual contribution limits in that regard. It just affects the campaign and legislative committees. So you can up to $4,000 for political parties and legislative campaign committees. So I don't know what yours is now, but I think it's probably a doubling because all of these were essentially doubled.
Are you saying that we can give $4,000 to those committees, or we can get $4,000?
You're essentially limited to $4,000, but I believe for county supervisors.
What do you mean by limited?
Essentially, your limit for political parties and campaign committees in your campaign account would be $4,000 if the bill were to be signed into law.
What is it now?
That's what I don't know.
I'm sure we're all pretty well capped out.
There is a limit.
I don't think it's that high.
It's not $4,000. It sounds like
it might be like $2,000.
Yeah, I mean, most of these are increases.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
But, Ms. Chair, so the our individual contribution limits haven't changed.
Your individual ones, not that I found so far, your individual ones have not changed. The state ones all have.
Yeah.
But there was no other provision that affected you, but this one, there's a lot of provisions that affect the county in regard to the clerk's office and others, but in regard to campaign contribution limits, this was the one that they included everybody on, and it was the political parties and the campaign committees. So for, like, the state, like, the campaign committees from the Assembly Democrats and the Assembly Republicans, theirs actually are reduced, but I think yours, the way that they did yours, yours would be increased, your limit.
Supervisor Robles.
Just to clarify, so currently each one of us sitting at the table have a different amount that we're allowed to accept from an individual until it's passed. So if this went into effect, the limit on those would be $4,000, irregardless of how much your PAC contribution is. The total amount of PAC.
It's total amount of PAC.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that would...
There's the PAC. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
There's the PAC, and then there's the campaign committees and the political parties.
Okay.
So if All you right. you could at most get $4,000 from the Republican Party if you wanted.
Okay. All right.
That's great. Cool.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, there's one other issue that Supervisor Roma West had asked about at the last meeting was the extension of the detention holds.
Yeah.
And it went in the finance budget, they moved it from 180 days, or... Right, it's 180 days now,
mm-hmm.
up to 320?
I saw three something.
Three something.
Okay, well, that's good news for us. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Kuhn. Thank you, committee members.